The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Monday, September the 25th. Joining us this morning via, well, Mr. Edison, Mr. Arkley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are we having fun yet?
Every day is fun, and today is a particularly fun day.
Well, you're still reveling in LSU. Okay, fine. We'll let you have that fun.
And the 49ers.
How about Colorado? I'm having just a kick, win, lose, or draw, that Sanders has been able to come in and make those changes and to have everybody kind of focusing on what was, even though a major D1 school, a second level as far as attraction. The whole place is prime this and prime that. It just is so cool to see what one guy can do.
Yeah, it's impressive. And you know what? The country was ready for his optimism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite fun. Are you ready for your question this morning, sir?
I think so.
All right. Why do we call someone who does things differently a maverick?
It's a great question. I don't know what the derivation of maverick is.
In the 19th century, Samuel A. Maverick was a stubborn Texas rancher who, because he said it was cruel, refused to brand his cattle, even though it was the only way to identify who owned free-range livestock. Instead, he would round up all the unbranded cattle he could find, even those not from his own herd. At first, any stray unbranded cow was called a maverick, but the word has grown to mean anyone who doesn't play by the rules.
See, that's spectacular. Thank you.
pretty easy. It has absolutely nothing to do with Tom Cruise or flying, but that's all right.
It's good.
They're still fun movies
that's a
to
great
watch.
Movie too.
Yeah. I like both of them. I've been not taken to the woodshed, but called into question because I liked the second one as much as the first, and was told how predictable it was. And it's like, yeah, so
I'm not sure. I don't like the second one more.
Yeah. I love the scores on both of them. So I just, yeah, I don't know. I've not watched too many of his other movies, but I love those two. So,
yep.
I don't know if that qualifies me as a Tom Cruise fan or not, but I like the movies. So with
he'd like to think so.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit, because we've had this kind of as a reoccurring theme on the shows for the last few weeks, about fire insurance, real estate fire insurance in California. Are you hearing anything that looks like it's going to be addressing this situation that is really building up and will be released here pretty quickly? It just is concerning.
Brian,
as all get out.
It's a bigger mess than I can describe, and I'll tell you why. Is the insurers and reinsurers have lost huge amount of money in their property and casualty business, specifically in Florida and California. Florida through hurricanes and California through fires. And they have basically said, forget it, we're out, we're not going to do it anymore, and they're actually leaving the market. We have a rural property, and we couldn't get insurance. It was amazing. We went through the California program, which is onerous and expensive, and it was a big change of cycles. Our previous carrier we'd been with for 35 years, and they just said, we're out. I said, wait a minute. You love us. We love you. Nope. And I guess what I'm saying is property and casualty insurance and the cost thereof and the availability is now driving the values of properties in various places, including California.
So do you see any relief? Is there, I guess, I don't know if it would be legislative or what is going on. I understand that there was regional insurance plan that was being developed in the Florida, Georgia, Carolina area, not national, but just for those states that would reflect
a
little bit more current.
Actually, Ron DeSantis wants to be president, and he is now, if he wants to be president, he ought to get a damn legislative fix to this. and for Florida. He has not done so. FEMA is a mess. I know John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, is specifically working on it. And there are no good alternatives, but the least good alternative is doing nothing, and that's what they're doing right now. So, Brian, it's just a mess everywhere, and something's going to have to give.
It seems like this would be something, it's like gas prices. Everybody's impacted by this, whether you're in ownership or whether you're renting. As these policies come due and they're not being renewed, either you go naked or you're paying through the teeth. And either way, it's a pass-through.
Well, you can't go naked if you have a mortgage.
Right, so then you're really trapped, and that probably is a vast majority of voters and property owners.
Especially in a state like Florida where there's so many new people and the prices are so high.
Yes.
You know, nationally, there are 83 million owner-occupied houses, and 52 million have mortgages, and 31 don't. So that kind of gives you the ratio, and you can do various, you know, assume the Midwest ones are apt to be the more paid for ones. I imagine in our area, there are a lot of unpaid for houses.
Sure. So it just, I mean, they talk about voting blocks. I would think that this thing would trump anything other than gasoline across the board. That would be a motivator.
Gas is a big motivator, but the problem is the Biden administration actually wants expensive gas. And so because what they're, then it makes their claim of alternate energy being economical because they're saying, well, see, there's not much difference between the cost of gas and electric, and they're rationalizing it that way.
I want to save that topic, the EV stuff, for the second segment, because I've got a couple of thoughts that I guess I'm looking for confirmation. Either I'm not out to lunch, or maybe I'm way out there at the end of the plank and about ready to jump off into the ocean.
I think we're all about at the end of the plank, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. It's 8:24. We're back Talking Shop with Rob Arkley. Rob, the concept with EVs, the electric vehicles in the big push, I saw something maybe 10 days ago now that indicated that automotive sales, they're going against the tide. They're continuing to sell even though interest rates are up, even though gas prices are up, and it's kind of an outlier, so to speak, and that if you want to have an EV, you have 4 or 5 to choose from now. You don't have to special order or wait or any of that kind of stuff. My thought with this, and it, I don't know if I'm connecting dots or not, but most EV purchasers are environmentally sensitive individuals, typically. It's not a price point purchase that happens. It's somebody who has an affinity or a desire to help the environment. And with that, with the fact that China is manufacturing all these cars, and they're using slave labor, and the materials going into these are being dug out of the dirt that is controlled by them, and their pollution standards are well, the byproducts are so high. I think it's 7 times per capita what America is, or some huge figure like that. There are actually those folks that are concerned about environmental safety and concern and the environment in general are actually adding to the problem as well as supporting the Chinese economy. Am I out to lunch on that, or is that kind of halfway close to something?
That's not halfway close. That's spot on. It's just part of the virtue signaling culture that they've created, I think, isn't it? They don't confuse them with facts. It's no different than the wind energy. Right now, there hasn't been a windmill that will produce as much energy over its lifetime as it costs to build it.
So if you pull the subsidies out, it's a loss.
100%. It's not just kind of loss. It's a great big loss.
So why do we continue pursuing these things unless there's something else that isn't in the discussion that is really the end game?
I think the end game in Humboldt County with the likes of Mike Wilson and Natalie Arroyo is to stop our right to travel. And the fact is ultimately they don't truly care whether it's an electric vehicle or a gas vehicle. They don't like vehicles. They want us to be on public transportation, riding our bicycle, which for now they say is a virtuous thing to do. But they just don't want us traveling around. You don't live in Humboldt County because you want to be clustered in a little area. These newcomers don't seem to understand that.
Well, the metropolitan concept is one thing that, okay, it plays well. I mean, if you're in New York City or if you're in San Francisco or L.A., yeah, okay. You know, maybe there's enough critical mass to be able to do some stuff. Maybe the culture there is one that permits certain things. But I would think when you're in more of an agrarian-based area or one with less density is probably another reference point. It's really not that practical. Is that just lost?
They don't care. They want to depopulate the world and have the population that remains living in little city centers able to use transportation they deem appropriate. And that's that.
Have you seen any?
It's all about control.
Have you seen any of these efforts in rural areas throughout the country that I wouldn't say are successful, but let's say aren't non-successful?
By definition, it can't be successful in rural communities. It just can't be, and it won't be.
So why the push there instead of focusing on the metropolitan areas where there's more people, and if they're successful, the degree of success, the impact is significantly more?
Well, I think to an extent we're a petri dish up here. You have the activists like David Cobb who get funding from national sources and they try out concepts. This one won't work. It's wildly unpopular. But, this is what they're pushing. And so it's not been successful elsewhere. It won't be successful elsewhere. There's policy being asserted that has nothing to do with transportation. It has everything to do with a different outcome than they state.
So why not take on a smaller jurisdiction than what California is? Pick a small state and do it there, and then get one state to accept it, and then maybe a second state, and then develop momentum that way, rather than banging your head against a wall in an area that isn't even acceptable statewide.
Well, the argument is that California leads the nation, so this is where you do want to start. And so I think that's their motivating factor. I could be wrong, but that's kind of the way it strikes me.
But when you start looking at, look at the gas prices, you know, with the California formula, how expensive it is, and then it ripples into the food and everything else. I mean, at some, well, what, California's losing five congressmen this next cycle because people are leaving the state?
They don't care. I think you're from a point of view asking, why are they doing it? This doesn't make sense. To them, it's an ideologically driven agenda.
Oh, okay.
It's their equivalent of a religion. And so that's what's happening.
All right. That kind of clarifies. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. So, Rob, with the political stuff that is going on, running around, what sense do you have? You mentioned DeSantis, that there's opportunities he's not taking. Trump is opting not to participate in the debates that Fox is having. You've got some of the other guys. Tim Scott seems to be getting some traction. Nikki Haley is kind of coming on. It's interesting. I did hear somebody actually say that they thought that Michelle Obama would be the one that came in the 10th hour and replaced the president as far as a candidate, maybe a month or so before the convention, that she would then announce and that things would change. It seems like everything's kind of topsy-turvy right now in the political arena as well as in the economic area. What do you see?
I see elections that I have no confidence in, and no one should. I see
the tabulation process, the election process, or the candidates that are running when you have no confidence.
I mean, I'm pretty dubious about the fact that illegals are getting driver's licenses and are registered to vote. I mean, they're not voters. They shouldn't be voters.
Right.
That's not a fair process, or if it is, then my definition is off. So what am I seeing? I just don't have confidence in the electoral process. I am disappointed in us as a society that we're allowing it to get to this point. I think people are really at each other's throats. Look at the way people are getting in fights at sporting events. My gosh,
yeah.
What are we thinking?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's not just simple beer brawls. It's a little bit more than that.
Oh, no. It's
super
angry. And it's not an easy way to get out of. So right now we're just going through once every 80-year and 50-year turning. Everyone's mad. Everyone's at each other. And you know, it's like Friedman said, it's a storm before the calm. So I don't know what the calm's going to look like, but right now, it's disheartening to see freedom of speech is abridged. There, you know, I think you and I agree that there ought not be something called hate speech. There was sticks and stones speech when you and I grew up.
Right.
And words will never hurt me. Not anymore. Boy, they're criminalizing speech. So it's a different time in our society, and I think we all have to look inwards, be mindful and courteous to our fellow man, and just get along. And if we have differing views, that doesn't mean someone's wrong and someone's right. It means we differ.
So, right, right, yeah. The rules being consistent would be a kind of an interesting or refreshing change also. I'm thinking of...
That's true. We've lost confidence in the equal application of rules.
Yeah,
we are discouraged.
Yeah, this fellow that got elected that had the mental issues that is wearing short pants to Congress. What? I guess decorum seems to be fading quickly also, and capitulation to... if he wants to wear sandals to Congress as a congressman, there's a segment that says that's okay. Well, really? I
mean, look, he's an embarrassment in every way.
But he got elected.
That's right. The people of Pennsylvania got what they wanted, and so I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that Schumer has changed the dress code. It's part of the civility move that I was just talking about, lack thereof. And, and like I told Natalie Arroyo, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. It doesn't always have to be power. And she looked at me and basically said, tough. Okay, I know how to fight. People know how to fight, but why push us to this point?
Yeah, why fight if you can avoid
precisely.
It? Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. With the testimony that Merrick Garland made last week, so to speak, was it illustrative of what is going on with the DOJ and the FBI, and whether it's the Biden family or anybody else? It seems like all reference points now, even in some of the national safety sectors, are being redefined.
It's pretty discouraging seeing the way he testified, all right. He didn't answer questions. Then he said he didn't know, which is... If he didn't know, then he's a bad administrator. There wasn't a positive thing to come from his testimony. And I personally doubt if that guy is as aged and infirmed as he plays on the radio.
You think he's sly?
I think it's an act. And I think, our common sense is being pushed to the wall. I mean, look, I can live with a different point of view, but is our country worth so little that we have a man who patently isn't able to do the job as president? And so you outsource it to unelected people? Is that really all our country is worth? It's kind of disheartening to me.
It's interesting. When you hear some of the dollars that are being allocated, I guess would be the easiest word, to Ukraine, and you see what's going on in Hawaii and some of the other elements of American society that certainly could benefit from, was it $6 trillion? I think that's what it is, that's been sent there.
Brian, here's my problem with the money going to Ukraine. It feels like another Vietnam or Afghanistan that's just going to string on for decades.
Yeah, I had that feeling early last week, that it sounds very, we don't have boats in the ocean, but it sounds very, very comparable to what I recall reading about Vietnam and some of these others. It's a quagmire, but on the other hand, you don't want it to be like Germany, where we didn't get into the war, even though the concentration camps were there, until we got attacked on our land.
Yeah, but I don't see how it ends right now. I just don't. And so Europe thinks so little of the issue that they're funding a pittance.
Yeah.
I don't understand where people's priorities are. Ukraine's a pretty bad place from a corruption standpoint. It's not, it's pretty awful, and it's been awful for a really long time. and it's no secret. If we have a path and a strategy to get out, to win and get out, I'm happy to consider that. Right now, we're just pissing away money.
That's kind of what it seems like, that there's a hole and we just kind of keep throwing money there. And then you start getting the conspiracy thoughts that maybe, again, there's something else at work here that we're in the general population are unaware of, and we may or may not ever know.
Oh, I don't think we know. I really don't think we know. I mean, there are so many plausible theories out there. We just don't know.
Do you think we ever will?
Yeah, I actually think we will. I really do think we will, but right now we sure don't know.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. So, Rob, as you see the political landscape at this point, does Nikki Haley have the staying power, the wherewithal, not to be a two, but to be a one?
Well, she definitely wants to be. she does have the power of Fox implicitly running her, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's hard to know. I'm not wild about her. She's kind of flipped all over.
Could Trump win?
Perhaps. It's not clear to me anyone can beat a Democrat this year.
Okay. What if Tim Scott was the VP candidate? I know that would throw things into a tizzy for a lot of people.
I don't think it throws them into a tizzy. They just throw them under the bus and call them an Uncle Tom, call names, and off we go. I just don't see a monumental change there.
Even after they know his story?
Oh, I have a friend who's put millions into his campaign, and he keeps telling me that, and I keep saying the example of why it doesn't matter is Fetterman.
Okay, that's point
clearly
taken.
Clearly he wasn't competent for the job. Biden's not competent for the job. They elected him. So I'm pretty dubious about the whole thing.
So you think this is a four-year, and then it's a redo, and in 4 years from now that there'll be opportunities that don't exist today?
I think 4 years from now we will have a transformational president. I don't think we're ready for one right now. For there to be a transformation, we have to get along. And right now, it's bad. We're talking past one another, but no one's being forced towards solutions. What we're seeing is solutions imposed rather than solutions mutually agreed upon.
What about at the Senate and the congressional levels? I mean, if that was balanced,
I think we pick up the Senate, and I think we lose the House.
Really, there's that kind of dissatisfaction with Congress at this point, or is there just shifts in the population?
Oh, I just think
because of some of the immigrants,
they're on a suicide mission on this budget, and
why? I mean, it seems...
Well, that's the operative question. Why are you doing this when patently you just can't do that? But they're doing it, and all we can all do up here in Eureka is sit and watch, pray for better days, knowing they will come.
Is Mitch McConnell competent?
He's competent. He's just too damn old.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, with him...
I was on a call with him and others the other day. He's competent. Does he have occasional blackouts? Yeah, you bet. And why? I think that's the way older people recover from concussions. I think it's kind of normal, but he's too old. We've got to give this next generation a run. And that's why Vivek has caught my attention, and it's amazing how my age group can't stand him. And I kind of like it.
Well, we'll see how that plays down the road. Thanks for the time this morning.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks. Talk to you in a bit.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.